I actually need these now. And Kyle was watching me study last night. He said, you look like a fashion designer, which he must be thinking of that movie, Glenn Close or something. So, but here's the problem. If I do this, I can see, but if I keep them on, I can't see you. So I don't know what I'll do. Yeah, you can have that. Is that yours?
No.
Is it blocking your view of me? Okay, so she brings up my dreams. So I wasn't going to talk about this. This is stealing into my 45 minutes, but maybe I have 46. Hey, I can see the clock. Okay. Excuse my scratchy voice. I think you'd all like to think that what I inherited from my mom was her godliness, but I inherited her scratchy voice and breathing issues, and I inherited my dad's personality. So if you knew my dad, he's kind of crazy. Like, I always picture my, you know those pictures where the person's head's cut off and the brain's like this? That's how I think my brain is. And, like, if you were to do magic school bus inside my head, I really think that she would be like, wow, what's going on? This is just always all over the place. So I really tried to be really organized, and I'm actually organized at home. So if you come over, I look organized, but my brain is, it's like really ADD. Which would hint the dreams. Yes, I was attacked. I'm like Indiana Jones in my dreams. I'm attacked by dogs and guns and ceiling fans and the ceiling coming down, and literally, it's crazy. So I think I get all my sin out in the middle of the night, and if he says, what are you doing? I go, why are you waking me up? Because I don't know, I'm dreaming. So Robert has learned over the years to just solve the problem. So if there's a mean dog in the room that's going to kill us, and I'm awake, you guys, like my eyes are open and everything, he'll go, I got the dog, I got rid of him. So I'm like, oh, good, and then I go to sleep. So I've actually done this on women's retreats. So people sign up to be in my cabin. And so I've learned not to eat food, like junky food, because it's really bad. And I did grow out of it, and probably into the later stages of life. So I'm hoping that they don't come back when that scary stage happens soon. But it is terrifying. I've lost my kids in my dreams and can't find them. And so now I'm cutting into my material. See, this is what I do. It's okay. If I read, I'm better off, but I'll try to be engaging as I read. Okay. We do have 5 children, 4 adopted, 1 in the middle was a surprise pregnancy. I actually miscarried 4 kids after Nano. See, I'm going to look weird, but you guys are just going to have to deal with it. I had 1 when Danielle was born, and we decided still to adopt her, and 3 prior to adopting Stephanie. I wouldn't have our life any other way. Adoption is the best. I can't imagine when people would say, I feel so sorry for you with not getting pregnant and your miscarriages. I think, I feel sorry for you, so it's okay, because you didn't adopt, you know? So I don't, it wasn't a sad thing, it's a sad thing, but I am so thankful for our life. I've been thinking about this message a lot over the past months, and especially the last 2 weeks with Chris's sermons. I don't really know why you need to hear me, because those were amazing. If you didn't hear them, download them and listen to them. It's like a huge infomercial for this. They're so good and so convicting. I heard Beth last week. We're like frick and frack opposite, right? Like, so she was like really polished, and I'm going to be really weird, but it's okay. Go with it. We by no means have this wired. We make many mistakes. Sarah says my kids are grown, but I still, the jury's not out, because I still have that 9-year-old and that 14-year-old coming up. 15 now. It's very humbling to be a parent. It's not easy, but it is the most rewarding thing ever, and it's a huge blessing. And I remember meeting you at the picnic completely. I almost cried. I did cry, actually, but now I'm not. So my first point, kids are a blessing. Parenting is meant to be a joy. If I can encourage you with anything right off the bat, in Titus 2, it says love your kids. That's not agape love. That's phileo love. That's like them. Like your kids. Wake up every day liking your kids. You're not in the trenches. Now listen. You guys are, who's in the parenting class? Did you hear Robert on the trenches? This is not a war. You are not dug in a hole with helmets and guns in World War I while you're popping up shooting, right? That's not what you're doing as a parent. You're not in the trenches. That's high school. It's not now. I'm just kidding. Okay. Psalm 127. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. Am I loud? This is loud. Am I echoing? Okay. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are the children of one youth. of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. So just remember right off the bat, kids are a blessing. One of the greatest things my sister-in-law told me is wake up every morning thanking the Lord for the day, your husband, and your kids. And remember, as your husband goes to work, you're a mom. That's what you do. So when you get annoyed at their sin or at the mess that's always everywhere and the shoes by the door, remember, this is your job. You're a mom, and enjoy it and make it fun. Don't let things steal your joy. Number two, remember your goal in parenting. Their greatest need is Christ. It's why we train them. You cannot mess up your child. They are born messed up. Most parents live in fear that if they do something wrong, it might mar the virtuous character of their children and cause them to drift spiritually. Trust me, they're messy. They're sinners. They come out that way earlier than you think, right, Sarah? We don't ruin our children. They come to us fully sinful, but we are called to parent them. J.C. Ryle has the best quotes ever, and I actually had Chris's quote in here, and I took it out, but about the hold the hand and lead him to hell quote. Read everything J.C. Ryle says. He's the best. The mother cannot tell what her tender infant may grow up to be, tall, short, weak, or strong, wise or foolish. He may be any of these things or he may not be. It is all uncertain. But there is one thing a mother can say with certainty. He will have a corrupt and sinful heart. We discipline and instruct them to point them to their need for Christ as a Savior. You want to disciple your kids. This is how. Parent them to know Christ. It is the most important thing you will ever do, one little soul at a time. There is so much good stuff written on leading them to Christ. Beth's talk last month was so good. If you missed it, get that too. It was so good. You need to have your time in the Word, and you need to model this for your kids. As Chris says, you know, there's a lot more caught than taught. And maybe as you grow older, you'll see the benefits of the teaching. You know, Greta can attest to this, and Dawn, you will have said things 55 times, and your kids will grow up and say, my youth leader said this, and you're like... You just say, oh, I'm so glad. And inside you're thinking, I've said that 4,000 times. But be thankful. All right. Here's going to be my main point. A lot of time, when I spoke a couple years ago, there was a lot of trend in parenting of gospel-centered parenting. And that sounds really great. And it's great. Your parenting should be gospel-centered. But I found what was happening is that you guys were listening to messages because I saw them posted all over Facebook. I keep my tabs on you. And those messages were meant for teenagers and parents of teenagers and not for little kids. And what I found was young moms were just giving all these gospels to their two-year-olds. I'm thinking, just spank them. You know, they don't need all this. Just train them. And so be careful that you're not listening to advice that's for older kids. Under five, you're the queen of your house. You're the boss. Embrace it. Because you know what? I have high schoolers. They're very hard to control. So be happy. You're in a good stage right here. All right, what is authority? Authority is the right to give instructions and to require obedience. How is it established? It's ordained by God. Romans 13 has the whole setup of authority, right? It's just government, workers, everything. Authority allows parents to benefit, children to benefit from parents' wisdom and experience. It gives a child a sense of security. And I can tell you, if I've noticed anything, that's true. The more boundaries you have, the more secure they are. We're not talking about micromanaging, which we'll get into later. Authority isn't just about getting kids to do what you say. It's giving them a grid through which to view the world, the way God has organized and structured life. It's God's ways that are good and true and right. Train them. Can I have my water? Train them to listen to all authority. Train them to listen to God. Most important, right? Our goal is to someday you hope that they transfer what they listen to you right to the Lord. Maybe your youth leader's in the middle, then the Lord. Because they're going to give the youth all the credit, remember. Psalm 8 presents a world of order. God has a hierarchy when he designed the earth. And it presents a hierarchy of created order. God's over everything. He's the rightful ruler. Then the angels. Then man, who has authority over the created order. We want our kids to understand that they are part of a created order and where their place is. There is a hierarchy in the family specifically. I think it's Ephesians 5. Men are to lead, a gracious, loving leader, not a dictator. Wives are to follow. Women are meant to be responders. Just go with what you're meant to do. Respond. Children are to obey. It is incredibly important to display this and teach it to our kids. So Obviously, that means you are under your husband, so you want your kids to be under you. You are modeling submission to your husband. Be very mindful of how you treat your husband. Authority trains in right habits and behavior. Proverbs 22:6. Properly trained children will not depart from their training even when they are old. We are people of habit. We live according to character and habits. If we train children to develop good character and habits, they will probably maintain those habits. But habits come by repetition, so parents should insist that children practice what is right until it becomes ingrained. I'm going to give you a scary example of a lack of authority. It's found in 1 Samuel 2 and 3. Eli is a very scary example in the Old Testament. If you remember, his sons were priests. You guys know the story of Eli? They were laying with prostitutes. They were eating meat they weren't supposed to. They were supposed to take a three-pronged hook and stick it in the cauldron and pull out their piece of meat, but they were taking everything good. They were doing everything. All the priests were doing it. They were awful. They were offering strange fire, and he knew it the whole time as the father. He said to them, "Why do you do such things? These evil things I hear from all these people. No, my sons, the report is not good. I hear the Lord's people circulating." So he told the kids they were wrong, right? He instructed them. He was afraid of them, and it wasn't enough. They would not obey. God rejected Eli's house because he did not restrain them. 1 Samuel 3:13, "For I have told him that I am about to judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knew of, because his sons brought a curse on themselves, and he did not rebuke them." And that word rebuke means restrain. The story goes on that the priesthood was taken from Eli's family. If you remember the story, they came and the ark was, the boys were dead. They came and told him, "Your sons are dead." He sat there. They told him the ark was taken, and he fell over in the chair and died. Most people wouldn't fall over in a chair and die. He was old. But guess what? He was super fat. So guess what he was doing while his kids were taking the meat? He was taking it, you guys. He was huge, and I don't think the Bible put that in there as a, you know, he was a big man. He was obviously eating. The priests were allowed to have certain portions. I thought that's even interesting that he was partaking in what they were doing. What was Eli missing? He was missing authority. He did not properly enforce the rules so as to control his sons and require them to practice good habits and character. Proper control or restraint will mold the child's conduct so that good qualities and habits will tend to stay with him even when he was mature. And remember, the Proverbs aren't like hard and fast true promises. They are generally true. So when it says train up a child when he is old, he will not depart from it, these are always generally true, and you pray that that's true with your own family. Number four, don't give away your authority. It is so important in the first 5 years. I think we think, this is where I think we get all backwards. You know, you're letting your kids have choices when they're older, and you want to see them make those choices, and you want to walk alongside their poor choices. But when they're young, make the choices for them. You know, "Honey, do you want to take piano lessons? We don't really want to waste our money. We want you to make a good decision." Really? There's got to be an adult in the house. Someone has to be in charge. If you want them to take piano lessons, they take it and they practice. That is easy younger. Harder later, easy younger. "You shouldn't wear that today, but Mom, it's pretty. We are going to the baptism after church, honey. You don't want it to get dirty, do you?" "But Mom, please, Mom, I want to show it to my friends." "You hate me, Mom. Why don't you ever let me wear what I want to wear? I just want to pick my dress out." And finally, for the sake of not getting in a fight, what do? You let them wear the dress. You guys, I'm not saying you shouldn't let your kids pick out clothes, because it's funny. And we would let Jesse pick out outfits, and it's hilarious. And I have pictures of it, and we'd say, "Oh, you look so pretty," and it was awful. But that's funny. I want you to be careful of letting them make decisions when your whole reason is to avoid a fight. Okay? It's a huge point. As they get older, you let them make decisions. Stephanie wanted to wear Heelys to the football game the other day, and those are those little shoes with the skates in them. I said, "Steph, I don't know, because it's a football game. You're going to want to run on the grass." She goes, No, I'm going to just want to skate in the one section." I said, "All right, wear them." And guess who was right? But you know what? It was a good lesson for her. I just said, but that's an inconsequential thing to her character, right? She learned a lesson that maybe Mom had it wasn't a biblical issue. But be careful when they're under five. Do not ask them so many questions. I had a mom, she's not in here, but I had a mom text me this week, and I'm not going to throw her under the bus, but it was funny. She said her kid's really disobeying. The only thing I could think of is, Somehow she's letting her authority go somewhere in the house. She goes, oh, well, I do give her choices. I'll put her down at the table and I'll say, we're going to have toast. Do you want peanut butter and jelly on it or an egg? And, you know, this child's not smart enough to know that there's $300 full of groceries in the fridge. And isn't mom so nice when I could have picked 8,000 different breakfasts? But she's so nice, she doesn't think that. That kid's thinking, I get to pick what I want. Right? When they're under 5, be very careful of this. Just say what they're going to have and be careful. You don't want to be bossy, and we're going to get to that, but I hope I'm making sense. You want to be careful of giving them too much freedom because they declare themselves the emperor and queen of the home, and you're the queen of the home. Be the queen of the home. You know how you make a kid make good decisions? You model good decisions for them very young. You model the good decisions. They will learn to model those decisions. Don't give it away young. So please, if you get anything, don't give away your authority. I have been around moms in my house a lot that say, do you want to sit here with the iPad or do you want to come? I'm exhausted myself. I'm like, just sit down with the iPad or something, right? Don't give them so many choices. If you want them to play on the blanket next to you because you deem that right, then just say you're going to play here right now. Kids like to be told what to do in general. That's where I say they feel more secure. Just remember that. And again, if you're making decisions, it can't be because you're trying to avoid a fight. That's where I fail constantly, is I don't want to fight, so I let them pick. This helps them to embrace the calling of God to be under authority. There's wonderful blessing living under authority of God. There's wonderful blessing being a submissive wife, and there's wonderful blessing to teach your kids to live under your authority. Think of the opportunities that come to children under authority. No one wants to take your pain in the neck anywhere. That children will get negative feedback everywhere, right? Be the child everybody wants to invite. Remember, Ephesians 6 is to children. By obeying, they will have blessing and long life. We say that to Stephanie all the time. You want to have a long life? You need to obey. There's an alternative to you having a child under no authority, right? The kid who has none, guess what he's called in the Bible? They name it. He's a fool. The wise person recognizes who God is. But there's a balance. Fifthly, the balance, the relationship side of authority. As the established authority, you are to be loving and kind and trustworthy. There is always a balance to God's word. We see it as a pendulum swinging between authority and relationship, right? So how Sarah was saying in her testimony, too much authority and then almost too much relationship is the same thing as too many rules, too much grace, way over here on the gospel, you know, way over here, no truth. Just remember, life's always a pendulum. Go in the middle. Try not to swing. I don't know who this is, but I liked what he said. Gardner Spring, he's old. He was in the 1700s. In all their conduct toward them, parents should seek to gain a child's confidence and trust. Every child should be convinced that his parent is his refuge. There are no others who will do and suffer so patiently and long for him. There is no one who cares more about him. We should use every sensible and lawful means to secure the affections of our children, to induce them to choose our company, to enter conversation with us without embarrassment, and to trust us with their own private affairs. To quote Chris Mueller, maybe last week, maybe the week before, not this last week, but you're not their friend, but as a loving, supportive parent, you want the kind of relationship that allows you to be in touch with their motives, wants, desires, hopes, drives, and intentions. Danny went to public high school this year. And one of the biggest things that we talk to her about all the time is that we're her refuge. We don't want her there getting all these darts all over the place without her putting it through a view with Dad and I. And so we constantly tell her, we're your refuge. Tell us, tell us, tell us. It's not easy. It's not an easy time. But you want your kids to see you as your refuge, and we're working on this with Danny. So just I can't stress it enough. You be their refuge. Please don't resist this type of familiarity because you think it's disrespectful. It's not. You want your kids to love you. You know, I saw Nano walking up at a football game, and he was in front of the whole student section, and I hugged him because I just thought, I'm just going to go hug him, right? And he hugged me back, so I was like, yes! But as a trick in high school, and Greta and Don will attest to this, get to know all their friends. I know them all. I walk right up. I talk to every one of them. I text them back if I have the kids' phones. You know, Danny's friends, I mean, I'm like, hi, I'm Danny's mom. Who are you? On the phone. So, in fact, some kid put up a picture I didn't like last night. I said, tell that kid his BFF mother doesn't like his picture. So I'm funny with them. I walk up and talk to them. I take my camera and take their pictures. I put them up on websites. Do what it needs, you know, do what it takes to be your kids' friends. Your children, and there's a balance again. You're not all friend, right? I'm not to the friend stage with these my high schoolers. We're fun, but you're still the mom. They are scared of us in a good way. You want your kids to have a healthy fear of God. That starts with you. You stand in the place of God for your children. They should fear you, and I hope you know what I mean by that. My kids are afraid of me in good ways. You want them to fear breaking that relationship with you. You want them to be sad about a broken relationship. You want them to fear that later, and you want them especially to fear ever breaking their relationship with God. And so you stand in the place of God. Remember, quotes from J.C. Ryle. Again, I love him. One of the signs of the last days is the disobedience of children to their parents. 2 Timothy, do parents realize their responsibility? Many seem to lose sight of the watch care they should ever have over the children, and they suffer them to indulge in evil passions and to disobey them. They take but little notice of their own until their own feelings are raised and then punish them in anger, right? So we tend to let our kids disobey, and then once we're mad, we deal with them. Don't do that. Children are left to come up now instead of being trained up. You're not a supervisor, guys. Get in the ground with them. Play with them so that you can train them. We stand in the place of God. We will have to render an account. All right. Maintain your loving authority, not dictatorship. You are not their best friend. Remember the balance. Too much authority and no tenderness or understanding will cause the parent to obey out of an unhealthy fear and no love, and will end up resenting the parent. Too much permissiveness will lead to chaos and create a little king in the home, or queen, as in some of your cases. These children also have no respect for their parents. This soft kind of love will create a barrier between them. The parents will be glad when the kids are gone at school so they can have a break rather than missing them. This spoiled child will learn to be impolite and arrogant and expect that others will always bow to their wishes. I see those kids a lot in high school. Trust me, they're hard to deal with. The Lord's way is much better. Christ modeled authority for us, right? Jesus Christ came filled with what? Chris says it all the time. Grace and truth. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. A child will grow with a parent who is compassionate and exercises authority well. The child then gains wisdom and the love he needs, and trust grows under these circumstances. So remember, they're a blessing. Point them to Christ. You're in charge. Don't give that up. Stay the authority, 0 to 5. These are huge years for you. God's direction to parents. There's two verses in Scripture directly talking to parents, right? Chris spoke on them. The one I chose was Ephesians 6:4. The other one's kind of the exact same thing. But fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. We're going to deal with the positive command of bringing them up. Discipline is a systematic training. It's not just spanking. And like Sarah said in her testimony, I think a lot of times we just think discipline is spanking, but it's a systematic training in everything you do, from an infant who you're training to go to bed to, you know, toddlers, training them to eat nicely at the table, not shoving their food in. Whatever you're training, this is systematic training. Discipline comes from the word pais, child, and refers to systematic training. It includes the idea of correction for wrongdoing, as seen in Proverbs 13:24. He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. The term is used in Hebrews and translated as chastening. Basically, discipline has to do with the overall training, including punishment. And you have forgotten the exhortation, which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. I thought it was interesting that there's not a lot of direct verses in Scripture to say what you're supposed to do, but if you go read Hebrews and all about father's discipline, it's pretty clear. We are to discipline, we are to put sense to their minds and to impart understanding about God. This is kind of simple, so don't complicate it. 0 to 5 is really your strong discipline to training time, really strong. That's your authority time, that's where you're the boss, you know, you're the mom, be the mom. You train a lot from 6 to 12, And from 13 to 18, you do a lot of guiding. And all you high school moms and older moms in here know that that's a tough stage. So you got to earn the right all those early years to be that guide person later, because someone will guide them. You want it to be you. Our culture and trend is a flip-flop. It seems like young moms are in the guiding stage. You're not in the guiding stage. This is, you are in the training and discipline stage. Have you ever heard the funnel and the cone example? So you're not a cone, right, where you give all this freedom in the young, young years. And as they grow up, you're choking them. And you're like, no, you can't do that, no, you can't do that, no, you can't do that, right? Because you're choking them, because you're in panic. You do the opposite, okay? You choke them younger and restrain them. Model good habits, model good decisions, and as, choke them. Just kidding. Sorry, little message. Restrain them younger, and then guess what? They have freedom to make a lot of choices. And I also find that you're going to think all these things, I'm never going to do this, I'm never going to do that. And you'll see as your kids grow, they can make good choices. You can let them out, and you can let them go do stuff and make choices, but just don't give up your authority again. That's all I can say. So I get to speak on spanking because I'm about out of that stage. Can't get thrown in jail, I guess. But folly is bound up in your child. I need a drink. So I know I said discipline is systematic training. Part of your systematic training is spanking. My first point to you is going to be that it's legal. You're allowed, okay? It's not illegal in California. Now, if you have a foster child, it's illegal. But for all of you who want to pretend your kids are foster kids, they're not. They're yours. You are allowed to use reasonable methods. Spanking a child is typically excluded from California child abuse laws. Parents do maintain the right to discipline their children reasonably. It's very reasonable to me that my kid is on the path to hell, and I want to save them from that path. And that is an emergency that I'm going to prevent them from going to. So, spanking is a rescue mission. It works. My kids may have weird psycho tendencies like everybody else in this world, but none of that is due to their spanking. They're all very normal. I'm going to read you some verses. Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. So it's interesting because it is talking about spanking, and then it talks about discipline as training. Discipline your son, for there's hope. This is my favorite one. Do not desire his death. What that means is you're so sick of your child being so bad that you want him to die. Like, I don't want to get there as a mom. So that's a really big verse. Folly is bound up in your child. The rod of discipline drives it far from him. There's a bunch. You guys can look up some more. When do you start disciplining? Not at 2. 2 would be too late, right, Sarah? You start young. I have a funny story for you. Well, I'll tell it later. Don't laugh yet. I'm going to tell, hang on. I'm going to throw Marianne under the bus, but it's classic. It's so good. But I'm going to wait for, oh, it is. I'm at my point. All right. So you're going to start spanking around 6 months. And when I mean spanking, the little baby's crawling to the table, right, and touching your stuff. You're going to say no. You're going to turn them away, turn them away, turn them away. We're nice, right? We're just not going to, they don't know no yet at this point. So you're benevolent. You're going to turn them away, no, pick them up, move them. There's going to come a point where they're not going to stop. Then it's simple. You guys, this isn't abusive. It's no. They're like, oh, they're shocked that their mom who loves them would do that. It's actually funny. Enjoy it. Don't feel so guilty. It's not bad. They learn to not touch what is not theirs. It's not that hard. I'm serious. I feel like we women want to cry over this. Like, it's really sad. Guys, you're a mom, okay? Here's Marianne's story. Get on the same page with your husband. That's not so funny. This is funny. Be careful of this. It's important to be consistent. You don't even know where you're not consistent. This is why this is a classic story. That's not really my point, but it's funny. It'll make you guys laugh. A parent's inconsistency in enforcing the rules so much brings more disobedience and confusion in the family. When parents, and this isn't what they do, but when parents disagree on how to raise the child, then you have the inconsistency in the home. Make sure you're on the same page. Talk about it all the time. If your husband is like anti-spanking, you better be careful that you're on the same page with him and get on the same page. What you're disciplining for, here's my funny story. I don't know who brought it up, but we're in parenting class. And we were talking about the child pulling things. And Kirk, I think, says, she pulls my glasses off my face and I don't care. And I see Marianne's face. And he goes, what? I don't care. And I'm thinking, because he has like cheap dime store glasses, right? Marianne goes, my glasses are expensive. She can't, no wonder she pulls them off my face. We are dying. Robert and I are gut laughing. And I thought, it was so funny because even in that little thing, here she is grabbing Marianne's glasses, and she's thinking, don't grab my glasses. And Kurt's like, is this so cute? She grabs my glasses. She puts them on my face. And he was so funny because he's like, I guess I'm going to have to change my ways. And she's like, yeah, you are. But that's funny. But you can see how that could amplify into bigger things if we're not on the same page. And even that, to the little one, that's not funny. She's thinking, okay, well, I can get away with this with Dad and not Mom. She's not understanding, oh, aren't my parents funny? They don't know they have different rules. They're so funny. She's thinking, this is great because I know how to work my dad, right? So in their little minds, I know you think they're not really smart. They're smart. They are velociraptors, guys. We can't say it enough. They are so highly intelligent. All right. Direct disobedience. We would only encourage you to discipline with direct disobedience. That means defiance. Be careful that you are not disciplining for things that they are not defiant in. You can ask me questions what that means, but you're going to have to pray for wisdom, not childish behavior, not spilling milk, you know, anything childish you do not discipline for. You train through childish behavior. Never, ever. It is a defiant, I am in your face, going to disobey you. They are like that. They're not like that all the time. You will have stages where they are more like that. Just be careful that you are making your rules very reasonable. Going to the bathroom, be careful about spanking for that. That's often a childish issue, and you can help them more than spank them. Your discipline should always be done in private. You clarify the issue. When they're older and, you know, maybe two. I'm getting old. I don't remember all these stages. You're going to ask them if it's a good choice or a bad choice, and that's an easy phrase to say. Was it a good choice you made, or was this a bad choice? Never say to your kid, you are a bad girl. Do not label your kids as bad or good ever. Ask them if the choice they made was good or bad. They usually know what that means. Jessie had a funny story. She's adopted, and we did good choice, bad choice with Jessie all the time, and someone came to visit her, and she was about five, and she said, you're adopted, Jessie? She goes, yeah, I'm adopted. She didn't even know what it means. And the lady said, that's really cool. So who's Leanne? That's my birth mom. She goes, yeah, I know your birth mom. She goes, yeah. She goes, well, what happened to Leanne? She goes, well, Leanne made a bad choice, and here I am with my mom. And the lady said, did Leanne make a good choice? And Jessie goes, yeah, the good choice was me. And I thought, right, that's amazing to me. But that's how we described it to our kids. Because how do you explain adoption, right? Like, you pray for these people to have sex so you could have a baby. Then you get the baby, and you're trying to explain to the baby where it came from. It's very odd. So we did the bad choice, good choice, even in explaining that. And I thought, how funny that in her little mind, she completely got it that quick. So tell them exactly what they did. They don't need a gospel when your child's on the changing table and turning over, and you're all thinking, how do I get him to stop turning over? I feel like I should turn this off. Just go like this. Don't turn over. And say no. And they go, oh! They're not thinking, oh my goodness, my mom just took that thing hanging off her body and she hit me. They're not thinking that. They're thinking, oh, I better not move, right? So when I say they're smart, they're not that smart, okay? They're not, this is not abusive, you guys. You don't need to give them the gospel. The Lord says for you to obey me, little eight-month-old. Just stop them. That's restraint. Stop them. First of all, it's dangerous. You are allowed to spank in emergency situations. This is an emergency. Them falling off the table. And you don't need to go around telling everybody. Just do it. They will stop moving. I have five, all genetically different. They all do it. They're okay. And again, make sure it's not excessive. Be very kind. This is not you being a dictator. This is loving. So don't give them the gospel. You will exasperate your children. Just restrain them. And put the issue to rest, you guys. Once you discipline, you have to restore with them. Don't put them on the couch and wait till they stop crying. Hug them. Say, Mommy forgives you. We love you. Make them laugh before they leave the room. Don't send them on their way without reconciliation or restoration being perfect. So again, state the infraction when they're older. Clarify it. If they're not going to admit to lying, don't deal with them. They have to admit it. That's my advice to you. Make them admit it. If you catch them, great. But make them admit it. Spank consistently. You will rarely spank. Spank inconsistently, and you will spank all the time. If you tell your child to not cross the line, they'll cross it to see what happens. At this point, your child is looking for a fight. I think you ought not to disappoint them. Remember, children are born with a decided bias. This is JC again. Children are born with a decided bias toward evil, and therefore, if you let them choose for themselves, they are certain to choose wrong. If then you would deal wisely with your child, you must not leave him to the guidance of his own will. Think for him, judge for him, act for him, just as you would one weak and blind. And again, he's talking in these young ages, but for pity's sake, give him not up to his own wayward tastes and inclinations. So I'm hearing a lot about the evils of discipline, and especially with everything on the news with Adrian Peterson. Nathaniel and I together actually wrote an essay on Adrian Peterson. And you have to help your kids in school. He didn't give me the right instructions, though, and we didn't get that great a grade, so I'm not very happy. But what Adrian Peterson did is abuse. Now, I don't know if you know the story, but he spanked his little toddler with a switch. And now he's out saying he's a Christian and this is how you do it. So we could be walking into very scary times because he's abusive and it was abusive what he did. And the kid had open wounds, and I would just hope that you would never think this is anything we're ever talking about. This is a loving way of restraining your children. It's not abusive. Your character needs to be right when you're doing it. You cannot be angry. This is if I'm saying to you it's a very loving thing, I hope that you can understand what that means. It's never you yelling. It's because it's a clear issue that they disobeyed. Now in that, if it doesn't hurt, it's not going to work. And that's probably why I don't exercise, because it hurts me. And so I think if I want to look like some of you in this room, I know it hurts, and I don't know, I just don't like it. So I don't know. I was disciplined as a little girl with a ping pong paddle, but I didn't like it. My dad could hardly spank me, but my mom did, because, you know, my mom. But it has to hurt, and it can't be too hard, you guys. There's such a balance. If you don't know, you need to ask. So, but it does need to hurt. This is going to do nothing. Like Don said, when you drive out foolishness, you have to replace it with wisdom. Use the word of God to train. That will produce inward change. Discipline for wrong behavior without teaching them right behavior can frustrate them and cause them to be exasperated and angry. And here is where instruction comes in. All discipline for the moment seems not joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Hebrews 12:11. And remember this. Even when we do what is right, the child still does have a sinful nature and seeks to express its own desires. We cannot completely restrain that nature from expressing itself, but in these young ages, we can sure constrain it. You know salvation is up to the Lord. It doesn't have to do with you, but I hope we're faithful to do what we should be doing as we're raising our kids. Instruction two, instruction. Instruction, fathers, do not provoke your children. Bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Instruction is a word which literally means put sense in the mind. It refers to the type of instructions in Proverbs. And remember, I want you to think about Proverbs. When Solomon was walking around, he wasn't going along with David saying, what do you think of that, son? What do you think of this? What would you do? And he was saying, don't do that. Stay away from her, right? He wasn't telling David really nice, like, I don't want to step on your feet. But hey, Solomon was like, wrong. Good. Oh, that's good, good, right? Be Solomon. He wasn't a pansy. He was later, but when he instructed David, he instructed him. He walked him around and he pointed out things. Your home must be properly in order to train. If you need help with finding order, ask your mentor moms and all these women in here. I will tell you, my home is more orderly now that I have older kids, and I am far more OCD than I was when I was younger because I like it really clean. But when I was younger, you got to let it go sometimes and have fun and parent your kids. As a pattern, it needs to be in order. Things to train. This is not exhaustive. I didn't know if I was going to get to this, so I will talk about happy girl for you, Sarah. Teach them submission and obedience. Again, this is all about you being the authority. Too little structure allows them to think they are in charge. Too much can frustrate them. A child under heavy, heavy, heavy authority can usually find no way to communicate with his parents. Again, we have that balance of authority and relationship. We're going to go with submission first. Remember, you stand in the place of God. If you were to ask me the most important thing you could teach your kids, I would tell you without a doubt it's submission. Why? Because a submissive person is underneath you. Get their submission. If you are walking around right now thinking that kid does not submit to me, stop everything. You need to have submission. They must be under you. You stand in the place of God. That's exactly what Ephesians 6 means. I'm going to say that a million times. You stand in the place of God. If I did anything right, my kids know that I'll do what I say, and I established that as a young age. If I say I'm going to pull them out of school, I pull them out of school. If I say we are strong, and don't say something you're not going to do. What is submission? I think it's hupomene. It means under. Oh, it's hupotasso. And tasso means to arrange. So you are arranging your kids under you. It's arranging your kids under the command of God. It is a process of surrendering your will to that of God's, and that's what you want of your children. They will grow and learn to submit to God, but they must submit to you first. Submission is at the core of man's relationship with God. Jesus was submissive. That always struck me in the Bible that Jesus was submissive. If anybody didn't need to be submissive, it was Jesus. Submission is also at the heart of discipleship. Jesus called men not only to believe in him, but to follow him. A disciple is a learner and a follower, a student who has submitted himself to his teacher. They must learn to submit to us so they can learn to submit to God. Again, this is our authority. J.C. Ryle says, in the meantime, if you say a thing is right, it must be enough for them. They must believe you and be content. This has so much to do with submission, that they trust you. Again, they must believe you and be content. It needs to be gained very early. Do not mess around with this. You're the mom. That's why I really spoke hard on authority. First time obedience. This cracks me up. All of us have a parenting style, and guess who knows them? Our kids, right? We all have one. Do you want a spanking? I'm going to ask you one more time. Every child knows. Whether you count and you say 1, 2, 3, they know. They're just sitting there. I'm going to wait till my mom gets to 7, right? Like, they know. They're not dumb. You know, maybe it's that your veins are showing and they turn to the brother, oh my gosh, mom's veins are popping out, let's go, right? Your child's worried you're going to die, so they're going to, at that point, obey. Maybe it's when you're threatened, young man, do you want a spanking right now? They know when they come to your end, so guess what? I have a trick for you. Just make the end right away. They'll learn it. Why do we do this? Like, we create them to disobey us. Just do what you say, mean what you say, and do it right away. Do not make this parenting style. All of you with babies, you can be way better than all of us, right? Start earlier, because we all do it. I am by no means perfect at this, believe me. Even going through all this stuff, I thought, oh my gosh, we give Stephanie so many questions, because I'm avoiding arguments, right? Like, so I want you to know I am in this with you all the time. But make your parenting style one of instant obedience. It's obey all the way, right, with a happy heart, because they will learn, and you all know what I'm saying. Sometimes we count, but we're not counting to get them to obey. We're counting the number of disciplines that they're going to get when they get home, and they know it. My sister-in-law one time, I was in the car, and her kids are really well-behaved, and we were in the wallpaper store, and they were awful, and I had no kids, so mine were perfect, and I'm watching her and I'm thinking, this is downright embarrassing to me. I almost didn't even want to sit by her and go through wallpaper. I was like, I'm going to go with your kids over here and you just deal with that man. And so I'm trying to make sure they all know. Now come to Auntie Tracy, it's not my kids, right? I'm just kidding. But they were really, really bad. And I'm sitting there watching, and I don't know if you know Patty. She's the nicest person on the face of the earth, and I am not exaggerating. And I'm thinking, she's going to kill him, right? So she's not saying a word, and she's instructing them, you know, go sit over there and play with Aunt Tracy. And I'm thinking, they're not doing what I'm saying, right? And they're getting worse. So we get in the car, and I get in the front seat, and all three of them get in the back, and they go like this. And I turn around, and I look at them, and I look at Patty, and I still haven't said a word because I'm thinking, this is unbelievable. I have never seen this. And she sits there, and she gets in the car, and she goes, well, that was a fun trip, wasn't it, guys? And I'm thinking, uh-oh, here it comes. And she just smiles at him, and Kyle goes, are we in trouble, Mom? She goes, oh, yeah. And I'm thinking, he goes, well, and not once did she say, you're getting a spanking when we get home. You know, right in her ear, right? That's what we want to do. You know, when we get home, your dad's home, and you are in trouble. She did nothing. She just kept saying, I need you guys to obey. And I'm thinking, they're not listening to her. You should have seen them in the car. I wish I had an iPhone because we didn't have those back then. I would have videoed them. They knew. And guess why they knew? Because she always dealt with them. Always. All three of them knew. And it was such an example to me. You know, that they knew. They knew the whole time. Make your parenting style like Patty's. They should know that they have disappointed and not obeyed you in stores or wherever they're at. Train them to obey. Your commands need to be reasonable. Boundaries should be reasonable. They should be clear. Never, ever issue a command you don't intend to be obeyed. Your daughter's running by you at church, and she sees Papa's shack with the suckers. Robert always says this, right? And you say, hey, you know, Linda, come here and say hi to my friends. And Linda's thinking, no way, Mom. And she's running, right? Don't call Linda when she's running to George, right? Be nice. She's not going to come to you. So make sure your commands are okay. And then don't say, oh, I shouldn't have called her, but Linda disobeyed me, but oh, I mean, really, she was getting the suckers. No, she disobeyed, right? If you're going to say it, she obeys it. Go get her and bring her and make her say hi to the person, even though you probably shouldn't have stopped her. Does that make sense? So be reasonable. I had a friend one time. It's hot. I think we had the hose on. We were young. And her cute little son comes up with his lisp and says, can I peek my thwart off? And she said, no, you cannot take your shorts off. We're leaving. And the whole time I'm thinking, I want to take my shorts off. Like, it's hot, right? So I didn't say anything. And he comes and he takes his shorts off. And she says, I should have let him take his shorts off, darn it. And I thought, she should have, right? So be nice. If it's not a big deal, let him go play in the water. I used to feel sorry for these people next to me because their kid would come out and there'd be mud puddles everywhere. And he's actually my tax guy now. I'd say, Jedediah, what are you doing? He goes, I really want to jump in the puddles, Mrs. Dotson. I'm like, you're not allowed? He goes, no. And I'm like, that's such a bummer. I lived by that kid for 2 years. Let him jump in the puddles once in a while, right? Like, don't be so strict that you can't be fun. And he obeyed. And that's why he's an accountant. He's probably really obedient. But I just always felt bad for Jedediah, and I still tell him the story. So I always have these little tricks to parenting. Say yes if you can. I think Chris even said it a couple weeks ago. We have always been this way. You have to say no to so much, you guys. Ask Greta and Danielle in high school. It is a nightmare. You're looking for yeses. It's awful. And so, especially, well, any high school, it's just awful. Just be nice. Say yes, right? Let them take their shorts off. Let them jump in puddles. Be fun. Don't.
Not in high school.
Not in high school. Yeah, we're talking 0 to 5. Please keep their clothes on in high school. Yeah, remember, 0 to 5. If they want to jump in puddles in high school, I guess whatever. I don't care. Right. But say yes when you can say yes. You will have to say no to everything. I know you guys think you're saying no to a lot now. Ask all of us. You're not. Be happy with your no's. They're very nice and easy no's, right? Don't pick your no's. It's easy. It's not easy to say, well, why can't I go here? Or why can't I go to this friend's house? Or why? Those are difficult things because they're still immature and you see big picture and they don't. But, you know, just remember, say yes if you can say yes. Be fun. Yes, Mom works. There's another trick for you. I give you an idea. When they're looking at you and you say, Come here. Look at him in the eye and say, look at my eye. Say, yes, Mom. It works. I don't know if it's just like a funny thing in their brain that, you know, they can't see me. I don't have to obey, right? Just look. It works. It's a trick. Make obedience easy. That's an easy freebie for you guys. Make them look at you. Make them look at you in high school, too. Don't forget this. Make them look in your eyes. It helps in submission. I think, yes, Mom, literally, I know it sounds so dumb, but I think it makes them think, all right, here I am, right? Unless they do that. Stephanie does. She goes like this. And then I know she's not looking at me. She's looking through me. So I say, stop that. Look at me normal. I always say, you're being weird. Stop that. Look at me straight like I can see in your brain because I don't like that face. And then she'll relent. So make it easy to obey. What that means, your kid's building this great, you know, tower, or they're in their princess clothes, and you say, time for bed? How would you like that? Be reasonable. You know what? In 5 minutes, you're going to go to bed. Hey, in 20 minutes, you're going to do this. Or it's okay to help them obey. If your kid's having trouble wetting their pants, whose fault is it? Go take them to the bathroom every 5 minutes. Do what it takes. Go get them. Help them obey. It's okay to... We don't want to be issued commands all the time, right? Help them obey. It's nice to be nice, right? We all would rather be around nice people. Encourage, encourage, encourage. Everybody wants to say, well, I shouldn't give my child a reward for good behavior. Yes, you should. Yes, you should. If they do something good, you don't have to go buy them a present. Say, you know what? This is a good reward. You cleaned your room without me asking. That is so great. That's what's wrong with that? Encourage. Make them happy to obey you. Be easy to please. Sorry. I'm getting passionate, aren't I? Don't repeat yourself. If you issue command, follow through. Don't yell. We all yell, I know. We don't want to admit it, but we do. Correct behaviors and attitudes that are not biblical. Help them realize the choices they made are sins. Again, how we said, you have to put off, put on. That wise words calendar is so good. We all have them. A child who learns to deny his own desires and submit to his parents' control gains inner control. Children are born into the world self-centered, so they must be trained from infancy that the world does not revolve around them and that life won't always give them their way. The child whose will is never subdued when young will grow up ruled by his passions. He will feel the need to speak his mind, which will frequently get him in trouble. He will come to believe that he should have what he wants, when he wants it, and he shouldn't have to endure anything he does not like. He will grow older thinking he is being deprived whenever he doesn't get what he wants from life, and by his teenage years, he will become preoccupied with rights and know little of personal responsibility. Ultimately, he will develop a victim mentality. Nothing is ever his fault. Someone else is always to blame for his misery. Susanna Wesley wisely said, the parent who studies to subdue self-will in his child works together with God in the renewing and saving of a soul. The parent who indulges it does the devil's work, makes religion impossible, salvation unattainable, and does all that is in him lies to damn his child's soul and body forever. Just really take this serious. You have the most important job in the world. Honestly, I don't know that there's any job better. You get to be a mom. Take it serious. Michelle's going to talk. We're on teach them self-control, so we did obedience and submission. Now we're on self-control. Michelle's going to talk about this next week. Self-control means not being ruled by passions, emotions, desires, wishes, or curiosity. Freedom from having to do what one feels like doing. The ability to choose to do what is right. It fosters the selflessness necessary for the love of others. So when I say your most important thing is to get their submission and obedience, your next important, most important thing, in my opinion, is their self-control. It encompasses everything in life. You may think it's fun to have your kid pull the glasses off the face. The mom may not think so, and you don't want them pulling off my glasses, right, or some nice old lady in the market, or be careful what you're allowing them to do. And I say that because I think that's hilarious still. And she was like 6 months old. Touching everything, don't move it. Don't be the person who decorates the Christmas tree 3 feet up. Just tell them not to touch it. Seriously, you guys, it's not that hard. Now, don't put out your expensive stuff and say, don't touch that, right? Like, don't have expensive stuff. They'll break it. Don't move stuff, though. Teach them. That's mine. That's yours. And, you know, if they walk around going, that's mine, say, no, you don't say that. Mom says that. That's mine. You own nothing, right? Like, it's okay to be bossy. Dinner time, they need manners. Teach them to eat right. We went to the Plesniks one time, and you know Beth, she's so sweet and orderly and wonderful and can cook amazing. And Nathaniel's 4 years old, maybe, I don't know. He was little. And he's the biological one. And the adopted ones are all really obedient. We're sitting at the table, and she makes fajitas, right? And she doesn't put them in one bowl. She puts the meat in one bowl by the good kids. She puts the veggies right by Nano. And he goes, ew! And I was like, oh! We just started gut laughing. What are you going to do? I didn't even get mad. I thought that's the funniest thing I've ever seen. So we had to work on Nano and not saying ew. So that's when we initiated, I don't prefer that. And so if you ever hear my kids, oh, I don't prefer that, they're really saying ew. But it's okay. It's a nicer way of saying it. And don't get mad at your kids. You know what? Learn to laugh. It was hilarious. And Beth and John laughed, and it was funny. But we have a joke in our home. Nathaniel is the we call him the biological one because he thinks he's left out. And everybody would say, oh, now that you have your own. And that offends me. They're all my own. Not really offending, but that's a funny word. But they're all my own. But he's funny now that he's 17 because I'll say, Nano, because he'll say, I'm left out. I don't have a birth mom. No one sends me extra presents. I go, I am the birth mom. You have the best birth mom. I'm like, well, they all want me. What are you talking about? Like, I'm trying to defend my birth mom this year. And he's like thinking he's ripped off constantly. And everybody's feeling sorry for my adopted ones. I'm like, feel sorry for the redhead, right? So the other day, I don't know why I'm telling you this, but just have fun with your kids. We're in the house, and I say, Nano, unload the dishwasher. He goes, Mom, go ask one of the adopted ones. So it's a constant joke in our house now. And he unloaded the dishwasher because he's really afraid of me. So he does it. But we laugh with him, and it is constant. He constantly, I mean, literally, if you go up and say something funny, he'll be funny, and he'll say it. But don't feel sorry for my adopted ones. He's the one that gets picked on. He always says it too. Everybody picks on me. They don't. We're all treated fine. But he doesn't. Teach them to put away their toys. Don't clean up after your kids. Make them clean. The other day, someone told me how an amazing cleaner Stephanie was, and I'm sitting there thinking, Dotson? Like, and I'm looking at the lady, she goes, seriously, she's amazing. I've never seen anything like it. And I literally, I'm like, shocked, because she's not. And she looks at me and she goes, except at home. And I just started gut laughing. I thought, that's really funny, right? But she admitted it, and so we're working on that at home. Bodily movements, you can see I'm a mover. And so I move constantly, but they need to have control of their movements. And I was standing here thinking that Robin told me once, if you stand like this, you don't move. That hurts my back. It feels weird. Like if your feet are like this. But so I move. It's okay to move. I think it makes you thinner because you're moving a lot. But your kids should have self-control over their body. Okay? Playpen time, that's another trick we have. You need a break, stick them in the playpen. Who cares if they cry? They're not going to die. They're stuck. Put fun toys in there and start it young. I'm telling you, I put my kids in the playpen at 4 months old. And I started at 15. They didn't know they were in the playpen, but they knew they were in the playpen. If you start later, it's harder. They will figure this out, and you will get an hour, right? Like, that's a long time. You can cook. You can do it during any time. Playpen time works, another secret. They don't need you at every beck and call. At every second, it's okay to put them in a playpen. You guys are going to think I'm so mean, but my kids actually like us. They weren't allowed to cry and scream and throw their mouth open and throw fits. We'd say, cry with your mouth closed. And so they would go like this. And they did it. And we didn't have to discipline them right. We'd say, close your mouth. And they did it. And you know what? Cry with your mouth closed teaches them to control the right? I think we got that from Patty. Happy baby is another trick. Happiness is a choice. Do you guys know what happy baby is? I feel like we made it up. But anyway, this probably came from Patty too. She should be here, but she's in Albania. If they're fussing, stick them in their crib. They're screaming. They're not doing the cry with your mouth closed thing yet because they're little. And they're yelling. Put them in the crib. Say, happy girl. And walk out of the room like this. Hide around the corner. The kid goes,
right, to get ready for the next scream,
run in and say, good girl, you stopped crying. And then she yells again. You say, oh, no, happy girl. And you be ridiculous Barney face, okay? Happy as you can be. Out of the room. Go back in. She breathes again. I'm telling you, it works. It's magic, okay? They figure out that if I smile, I'm going to get out of here. It works, you guys. I can still do it. Danny, fix your face and put a smile on. She's like, it works. It's a trick, and it works, and they think it's funny and be funny, but when you're little, train it. It works. It's a trick. And once they're girls, you can say, happy girl. And they, you know, my brother Steve used to go, now you have to laugh. And they'd go, he'd go, now laugh like you mean it. I want to see you laugh funny. And then they literally would start laughing, like, you guys, you can help them change. And you know what? You are going to have, oh, I'm going over. You're going to have kids that you find change really easy. Like, I'm not going to say him. Actually, Nathaniel, since I threw him out of the bus. He fixes easy. He will fix his heart faster. I have one that doesn't. And we stare at this child, and we're like, we know the inside. Like, I picture clock, like gears of a clock, just like, boom, 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 you know? And she's like, and then they stop, because I think she's not going to let it go, right? I said she. It's not Jesse. She struggles. And so we know her. So we say, we want you to go in your room. We want you to pray about this, and then we're going to talk about it. We need you to fix your heart. You're being stubborn. And you know what? She knows. So you teach them to fix their heart young, and they've got to learn to fix it themselves. And you get to that stage where you're in this upside-down cone thing, funnel. They're going to learn to do it, right? They need to learn to fix their heart. Injuries. Don't let your kid throw a fit when it gets hurt, right? That was me. That's why I probably don't like working out. My mom did not train me in this. Pain is okay, right? Like, teach them to, if they get a bee sting, they don't need to freak out. If they, you know, they are okay. Teach them self-control when they get hurt. We had a little girl over the other day, and she is throwing a fit. And about 3 weeks prior, her sister got stung by a bee. I have never seen anyone react like this little six-year-old reacted to a bee sting. You would have thought, I don't know what you would have thought, but I had my mouth open and I started laughing because I thought I couldn't even help her. I thought this is the most ridiculous outburst I've ever seen. Well, her little sister fell off the trampoline. Like, that's a big deal, right? Like, she should be crying. She has a little bit of blood, tiny. She opens a scab. The little brother says, she's got blood, Auntie Tracy, come out here. So I'm thinking, oh no, her teeth are gone, right? Like, the way this kid reacts. I go out and I say, smile at me. And the kid smiles, there's no blood. And I'm like, where's the blood? They go, on her leg. I go, that's an open scab, right? It's not that bad. You know when you open a scab, it pours blood, right? It's not that bad. So I said, stop crying, you're fine. She just looks at me, and the sister goes, and you need to have self-control. And I'm looking at the sister thinking, you just acted like you were on a torture chamber chair. But she learned her lesson, right? Because here she is telling her little sister, you do not need to cry like that. You know, I have fallen off the trampoline many times. And I was like, it's okay, because it worked, right? So, like, she's giving her good advice. I'm thinking her advice was good, even though it was, like, really off life-wise. I'm really bad at eating junk with my kids, so you guys shouldn't feed your kids junk. Feed them healthily. Another discipline, if you're ever at my house, you see my kids running the driveway, that's a way we get them to obey, is we make them run the driveway. If we see an attitude coming on before they do something, we make them run. So I always wonder, the first 10 years when we were homeschooling, all the neighbors probably thought, man, those people are athletic. And if you know me, we're not athletic. Well, I'm not. Everybody else is. But we don't run. But my kids do. They run a lot. I can stop. But self-control teaches with responsibility. Accepting personal accountability for one's own actions, faithful, conscientious work habits. It teaches them integrity, reliability. You are only able to be all these things when you are not ruled by yourself. So teach your kids to rule themselves in their passions and their emotions. The rest is kind of self-explanatory. You could talk it over with your mentor moms about the teach them stuff. Couple things I'll mention. Make your grandparents important. If they walk in the house, make them hug them. My dad used to say, I used to get really annoyed when you guys made your kids hug me, but now I love it, right? Because they thought my dad was the greatest man in the world. And you know what? My dad was the greatest man in the world. And I wanted my kids to know that, and they respected my dad. Make a big deal out of grandparents. Teach them to look people in the eyes. Whether they're shy or not, don't make excuses. Say my kid's shy. Oh, brother, shy is just being prideful. Come on, let's just really name it what it is. Pride, right? It's just as prideful to be really confident as it is to be really shy. It's just one of those things, right? Another pendulum thing. If your kid's shy, they just don't want to be told what to do. They don't want to look at that person. So what? Make them look. I'm telling you, we used to prep our kids in the car. We're going to church. And I used to tell my kids, at this point, you're going to have mercy. But when junior high, I'm going to call you out. If I walk up to a group of people and I say, this is Mrs. Dyer, and you don't say, hello, Mrs. Dyer, in her eye, I am going to embarrass you in front of her. Let's just be clear. And they're like, yes, Mom, right? They don't want to be embarrassed. So when they're younger, say, hey, we know you have trouble saying hi to Mrs. Johnson. So we're going to go find Mrs. Johnson at church, and we're going to say hi to her. Take the time in the car to do all those little weird things that you want them to do at church, right? And then go do it. My kids got punished if they didn't say hi. They had to stand by me the next week with everybody I talked to. And like, that's like awful, right? Because we stay forever. So they have to talk to people. They have to respect authority. They have to be hard workers. One of the biggest words in your house should always be others minded. They should know what that means. Think of others. Always, always, always. Okay, my last point. Teach them to have fun. We look really fun. We do a lot of fun things. They don't always think it's fun. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. We don't understand because we think we're really fun and hiking's fun and, you know, we have a boat. We go on the boat and that's fun. They don't always think it's fun. We make them do everything. So what I should do is put up the pictures when they don't want to do all these fun things we have planned for them. And then the pictures after that you see where they're like, look at us in this cool cave. Look at us, you know, because they think it's fun. Make them have fun. Make them swim. Make them not be afraid of things and make them have fun. We went on an amazing hike this summer, which is hard for me because you know I don't like exercise. I'm thinking 2 miles in 100-degree weather, right? So I'm not that bad. I like having fun exercise. Like I like playing tennis is fun, but walking is not fun. So, but this was fun because I had a camera and I thought this is really cool, these mountains. And they have these like those, you know, those high Utah things. This is awesome, so that we are going to have fun. Nobody wants to go on the hike. Well, Nano didn't. All the adopted ones wanted to go. And isn't that sad? He's like me. So we went. Guess who had the most fun ever? He did. He didn't want to go. You know what? Don't cater to your kid and say, okay, make him go. Make him have fun. Make him participate in family things. So when you see, like, you know, Homeschool Magazine, all those kids look perfect. They're not. When you see our fun vacations, they're not always the greatest, but they look great, right? And all my kids know is we have so much fun. They don't remember how they complained and didn't want to do all that we make them do. So be fun. Don't be bossy without being fun and encouraging. Be the queen of your house. Don't give it up. Don't let your kids be Emperor Cusco in your house. You won't like that. And that's it. I'm done. I forgot to pray when we started, so I'll pray when we end.